Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3 for just a few moments. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Now this morning I want to make an argument and a plea to anybody that would be here that may be an unbeliever. It's never out of the realm of possibility that there's an unbeliever among us, maybe even one on the membership roll, that could be deceived. We don't know the hearts of anyone. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was the devil. So it's not too beyond the realm of possibility to think that there could be some here today. I want to make an argument and a plea to you. Some people that think about God, I believe as unbelievers, they're suspicious of God. There's a lot of people that what keeps them from believing, what keeps them from entrusting themselves to the Lord, is they're suspicious of God.
Yeah.
And they keep God at an arm's distance because they don't really believe that He's good. They don't really believe something about His character. They don't see it. And so they don't entrust themselves to God. You don't entrust yourself to somebody that you don't see as good. So you've got to see God's character. And I want to argue for you something that I want you to think about. I'm appealing to somebody that thinks God is suspicious. I know that they're here. And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. You know, the second coming of Jesus is something I look forward to. I don't know about you. As a believer, we long for Him to come back again. And one of the components of the day of the Lord that Peter talks about is the second coming of Jesus. It's a component. Peter mentions the day of the Lord in this chapter, which the day of the Lord is an extended period of time of what we could call divine intervention. The day of the Lord would include the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial kingdom, and the final judgment. It's an extended period of divine intervention. And in verse 1 to 6 of chapter 3, Peter is dealing with scoffers who come in the last day and they mock the fact, they mock the reality of the coming of Jesus again. And they're saying, where's His coming? You Christians say He's coming back. Where's He at? Well, I want to show you the reason why Jesus has not come back yet. We have the answer. I can tell you right now why Jesus has not come back yet. I know what the holdup is, you could say. Well, in verse 7, he tells us by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist, they're stored up for fire. This is going to be at the day of the Lord, fire. And the earth and the heavens are being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. All lost people outside of Christ will be judged and destroyed at this judgment. This is a fearful thing. The heavens and the earth are being stored up. They're being kept until this judgment, which means that the earth and the heavens are being kept until this time. Nothing is going to overturn that. So nothing you do on this earth, nothing that happens to this earth will cause it to be thrown out of orbit. There's not going to be an asteroid that hits us and knocks us into the oblivion of space. It's not going to happen. Global warming is not going to happen. It's impossible.
Amen.
There's nothing that we could do to the earth that would cause it to run out of resources. Why? Because right here it says that the present heavens and earth are being kept until the final day. In the Noahic covenant, he says that the earth will remain in its current state until the day of the Lord. It's being preserved. It's being kept. When you think of global warming, just a comment that by us using the things in this earth and what we do and driving our car and using our air conditioner, we're going to cause the climate to heat up. And as it heats up, it's going to melt the polar ice caps and they're going to flood the earth. Well, biblically, there's just a small issue with that.
Yeah.
Genesis 9:11, God says, I establish my covenant that never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So what the result of global warming is, God says, will never happen, and He binds Himself to this promise, to this covenant.
Right.
I'm going to keep the earth here. It's not going to drown again. Therefore, global warming is not true.
Right.
The day of the Lord will come, though. I want you to look there in verse number 10 and notice what Peter says of chapter 3. The day of the Lord will come. It's coming. Destruction of people like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up. They'll be dissolved. The earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. It's coming. There's going to be a judgment coming. It's right around the corner. It's coming. Noah said the flood's coming. I'm telling you the fire's coming.
Amen.
Pointing you to the ark, which is Jesus.
Amen.
It's coming. The destruction is coming. So what in the world is keeping it from happening? Peter tells us. What's keeping this from happening? Look in verse number 8. Here's the reason for the delay. Don't overlook this one fact, beloved. Talking to Christians. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So in other words, God does not operate on your clock and on my clock.
Amen.
It seems like a long time to us. But to the Lord, it hasn't been that long at all. To the Lord, it's as if a day and 1,000 years are one and the same. We can't confine God to our timetable. We think it's been a long time, but it really hasn't in God's mind. That's the first thing to take notice of. Now, the second thing, and here's the biggest key. What is the holdup for the second coming? It has been 2,000 plus years. Is God indifferent? Is God slow? Is He late? Is He wasting time? Is He loitering? What's taking so long? Is the Lord slow? Look in verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness. It's not that the Lord is wasting time. It's not that He's delayed. It's not that He's late. Here's the reason. But He's patient.
Amen.
He's patient.
Amen.
He's keeping the fire from swallowing you up because of His good character.
Amen.
His patience is keeping it from happening.
Amen.
It's as if Jesus is holding the dam of wrath and He's telling you, come to Me. When it's too late, He's going to let go. And that dam of fire and wrath will consume you if you're not in Him.
Right.
It's coming. But what's keeping it from happening is the patience of God. Look at this. It's not that the Lord is slow, but He's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. What is His will? That you would come to repentance.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to change your thinking about Him. You're suspicious of Him, maybe some of you. You're suspicious of God. You need to stop thinking that way. Repentance literally means to change your mind. You need to have a change of mind about God. And you need to see God as extremely wrathful and angry every day. But at the same time, He's patient. And He's waiting. And He's saying, come. And some of you, He's been patient a long time. My dad was saved at 71. A lot of patience. With Paul, there was a lot of patience. He was patient with me. He's being patient now, and some of you, because of your false view of God, it's keeping you from coming. You need to see God differently.
Amen.
You need to consider, verse 15 says, the patience of God as salvation. The reason the second coming hasn't happened is there's still the elect that have not been saved that will be saved. Somebody still has got to get saved.
Right.
That's what is keeping him from coming again.
Amen.
Yeah. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to hear this about God.
Amen.
His patience should be persuading you to come to Him. Drop your weapons of war and see God in a way you've never seen Him before. God's kindness, Romans 2:4. His kindness is meant to lead you to change your thinking about Him. Because you think wrong about Him. And you need to come to repentance.
Amen.
And come to the cross where God's wrath was shifted to another. It was poured out on Jesus.
Amen.
And if you come into Christ by faith and repentance, you can be saved.
Amen.
It's like the ark. Noah said, get in the boat. Mm-hmm. Judgment's coming. I'm telling you, get in Christ. Because judgment's coming. He's being patient. But his patience will not last forever. Verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come. And it's going to come like a thief, surprise. You're not going to know when. So today's the day of salvation. He tells the believers, since this is going to happen, we should be diligent, verse 14, to be found in Him without spot or blemish and at peace.
Amen.
This affects how we live now as believers. This should help us to change the patterns of our life, to get more serious about the Lord. Because He's coming. Since this is going to happen, we should be found in Him without spot, without blemish. We should be holy people.
Amen.
If you're not a believer, you need to come to Christ. And you need to do it before His patience is ended.
Amen.
And Jesus, thank You for the day You've given us.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord, for Your patience.
Amen.
Lord, the day of the Lord is coming. Judgment, fire, destruction. Lord, You're going to put one massive judgment on display at this end time. But Lord, right now, You're being patient. And the patience is meant to bring people to repentance. It's so that people that are here that may be lost, maybe that they wouldn't perish, but that they would come. Lord, I pray that today that somebody's mind would be changed about how they view You. Lord, bring them to a place, not of suspicion of You, but to see Your goodness, Your patience. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what You've done, God. You've made a way for us to be saved.
Amen.
You've satisfied the law's demands on Christ. You can legally declare us forgiven and justified because of what He did,
Amen.
Not what we've done. I pray that someone would come today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.